What's up, everyone? I'm Tori.
And I'm Anissa.
And this is MTV's official challenge podcast, where we go behind the scenes of the challenge, Double Agents.
Remember, there are spoilers ahead, so before we begin, make sure you're up to date on the latest challenge episodes.
And on this episode, we're going to talk about TJ's security breach, that insane elimination, and the terrifying daily challenge that's ahead.
Ugh. And we're also going to talk to four-time challenger and our friend, Josh Martinez, later in the episode, so stick around for that.
Yes, I'm so excited. I love Josh, and I cannot wait to get into this episode. So shall we get started, Anissa?
Yes, my love.
Welcome to Safe House, everyone's favorite beginning of the episode, especially Anissa's. Anissa, should you go first or should I go first? Come on.
I mean, that episode was something else, and it started so abruptly, like right into the elimination.
Yeah.
That it's going to be hard, but I think I can manage it.
Okay, you got this one first?
I guess.
Okay, ready? You got to catch you in. Three, right. Two, one, go!
Okay, Devin and Gabby get voted in. Oh, shit, security breach. What does this mean for anybody? Oh, guess what? Four teams are going in. CT lets Devin pick who he wants. He picks Darrell. And then Josh and CT get to go against each other. Then guess who wins? Darrell. Well, Devin, guess you're not the puzzle master. And CT beats Josh. Mm. So now, what? They can switch partners. And what does CT do? Blows up. Makes Big T feel like shit about herself. Steals camp. Kyle's upset. Kyle gets Nani. Big T's with Nam and Gabby's
quicker.
Somebody else. There's a lot of shit going on. Okay, there's a lot of shit.
You're done.
That's just the elimination.
All right, it's okay. I got this one. You're going to hate me for this, but I got it. You ready?
No. Okay, are you ready?
I'm fucking ready.
Okay, go.
Okay. 36 seconds, so I'ma say this. TJ pulled up with an itty bitty twist. One team in the crater. Psych, what about this? Josh gotta go in, gotta handle his biz. But Darrell pulled it off. He solved the tangerine. CT beat Justin for the new team. But then he picked Cam and he did it kinda mean. And now Big T in her feelings cause he really made a scene. Emotions running deep, high, people about to crack. But poor Nam gotta go because he had a bad back. Decompressed in the spring because they tired of the fights, but now they really gonna be tired because they staying up all night. I wrote
that
a rap.
Was amazing.
I wrote it on my phone.
That's amazing. Did you just do that?
Yeah, I just did it.
That's really good. I think I should write a haiku for the next one. Maybe a limerick.
Oh, a limerick.
Well, you know, I think we're just going to leave the 36 seconds up to Tori. She clearly is a showboater this day. And, you know, mine was shit. She just took a dump all over my 36 seconds. So thank you, Tori.
I had to be in the challenge somehow. My bitch ass got eliminated by you weeks ago. So I got to somehow feel like I'm a part of the show.
I mean, that was really great. That was really great. I mean, I feel like that was my play of the day, but
I love you so much.
But we can really get into it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get into it now. What do you think the play of the day was?
I mean, it just started so bizarrely.
Yeah.
That it's, you know, we're used to like a little bit of story, then a challenge and elimination. Now we're doing elimination, lots of drama, and then back to a challenge that now we're left on another cliffhanger. So,
yeah.
I want to say the play of the day. I mean, CT definitely solved that puzzle in 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. So, way to go solving that tangerine, you know? Shout out to Darrell. Tangrams or tanagrams have never been called tangerines, but you know, tomato tomato. So
it was a good soundbite. It was worthy of just reliving that moment. But you know what, I gotta give the play to the day to him, because you know, Devin was like, I'm gonna kick Darrell in a puzzle butt. I mean, in a butt puzzle. Okay, I don't know what I'm saying. He said he was going to beat him, and then Darrell went down there and whooped some ass. Like, the OGs really pulled it out. So let's just give it to some OGs this time. To the OGs. The dirtiest D definitely goes to CT, though.
Oh, yeah. He went off. You weren't even there.
Tell me.
I mean, I'm sorry. That was rude.
No.
If you would have been there, you would have been just, I mean, he screamed.
Oh, wow.
And we were just like, all I could think about, like, there's a way in which you're like, hey, Big T, thanks for riding out with me. We could talk about it more in depth back at the house, but I'm trying to get with Cam because everybody wanted Cam. Cam was a hot commodity, and she's really good at the game, and she's a force to be reckoned with verbally and mentally. So why not pick her? I don't blame him for picking her. I think he could have gone about it a different way.
Of course, yeah. So definitely Dirtiest Deed goes to CT. I mean, it's unfortunate, but I mean, let's dive into it later in the episode because it really explodes in the house.
Yeah, it gets really bad. So Tori, let's get into this episode. We start with this security breach. We've never had security breaches before, except for earlier in the season, and we got Ashley back. But this was insane. And not only was it just about the first team voted in, it was the team that got the second highest amount of votes. I mean, imagine if that were you.
Oh, my God. It was like you just barely dodged a bullet because Terrell sided with you. And then now it doesn't matter. All of that for nothing. You're still going down.
Yeah, we got four teams competing. How are we going to do this? And they get to choose who they want to go against, which I personally like because it gives you a little bit more control in a game where you clearly have no control at all.
Yeah, I can't even imagine being there. I mean, especially, I mean, let's talk about the Devin Durrell round first. Okay, Devin's like, well, CT's like, Devin, who do you want? Which is like pretty much any challenger's dream. Because if you're already down there, then you're like, you're coming with me, you know?
Right.
So he pulls Durrell down. But I really do think Devin slept on Durrell's abilities because, like, he's so strong in so many areas.
Well, Durrell's not the guy that you want to run against in the final. He will outlast you on any run. But I didn't know he was good at puzzles. Just like I didn't know he was good at swimming, and he's fabulous at that too. But I think they thought, oh yeah, he's also kind of afraid of heights. Well, he is afraid of heights. Let's not skate around that, Durrell.
Yeah.
But, you know, him being up there and then him having to solve a puzzle, I just think, yeah, people did sleep on him. Took a whole tiger snooze on him. And he went in there and he showed them why he deserves to be there. And then Josh goes against CT and it's like, nobody was going to beat CT in the puzzle. It doesn't matter if they both got their pieces at the same time.
Right.
It just wasn't great for Josh. And the minute CT got down, the weight was off. So Josh was just like a big baby swimming back and forth, swinging back and forth. But the best part about it was that, you know, Devin and Josh hated each other. And now we got to watch them prance off into the night.
Yes.
Under the pale moonlight. Together.
Oh.
And believe it or not, then spent some time going to bars in Iceland.
Yeah. And that's.
And had to stay in the same room.
Yeah. And they ended up, it was what TJ said was absolutely savage because he was like, I hope you can get to know each other on the plane. And they were just like, no.
No. Why did it have to be us?
Yeah. But they're friends now. Like, I was just in Mexico with those fuckers. They are friends. They are friends, which is, it's great. Like, honestly, the game is so hard. Of course you make enemies while you're there. But when you come home and you both suffer a similar loss, you're like, damn, man, that sucked. And you have something to relate over now. Now you have this commonality that you can discuss. So,
but also you just have the show experience, period. Like, we're the only people that are ever going to be able to experience this and know what it's like to be in a pressure cooker.
Oh, yeah.
And not trust anybody.
Oh,
and start going nutty.
Yeah.
Speaking of going nutty.
Yeah.
CT's outrageous speech. I mean, he was like, Cam, I want Cam. Suck my whole entire dick. I want Cam. I'm like, he's like, fuck you and fuck you. And I'm like, where is all of this passion coming from?
It was built in.
It was intense.
It was building up. You don't have an explosion like that unless you're suppressing a lot. And he must have been suppressing a lot. He must have had no outlet for a long time. And now that he finally has this win, he didn't think that he was going to go into elimination in the first place. So he
And I think people were going to block him out. People were going to block him out. I mean, look at him and how many times he's won before. He's not somebody you want to go into a final with anyway.
Yeah, so then he picks Cam. We have that new team. We have a lot of new teams this time. We have Cam and CT. We have Durrell. Well, Durrell and Amber stay together, which is really cool. But then we see Kyle take Nani again, which was hilarious. I loved when he ran up to her and he was like, oh, the ride home was crazy. I'll tell you about it when we get home. Like,
I know. It was great. Like, you missed out on so much, let me tell you.
Like,
it was
so
great. I love Kyle. So it was he was so entertaining.
Oh, so entertaining. And then we have Nam and Big T, which is a really interesting matchup, obviously, until we figure out what happens to Nam, which is so unfortunate. But I was really excited to see what they were going to do because Big T does have a lot of strengths, especially when you mm-hmm. believe in her and you give her the ability to prove herself. She does step up to the plate. She rises to the occasion. Right. And Nam just needed to work with somebody who he could actually get along with. So I thought it would have been a really cool, interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to seeing how that played out. But you know who I really feel bad for is Gabby, because now she's with the Corey curse. Hopefully she can live another day.
Right.
Because they both need skulls. So totally. I think it's smart when choosing a partner that you pick somebody who has, if you have skulls, you want to stay with a skull. I think that's also why CT chose Cam, because mm-hmm. Big T doesn't have a skull yet. So now that CT has a skull and Cam has a skull, you think it would be, you know, there'd be less of a chance that your team goes in.
Right. So. You'd think so. But let's talk about what happened when we got back to the house because, okay, first of all, not we. I'm not there. I feel like I'm there, but I'm not there. But CT starts with, and you guys go out to this hot spring. How was the hot spring? Let's talk about that.
The hot spring was good. I clearly was carrying Nani around like a baby because I am the mom when I go on, even though I have not bared any children yet. Mama Nisa was in full effect. mm-hmm. So it was like Gabby and I were drinking. We had so much. I do adore Gabby. I do love her. I don't get to talk about her enough, but she is so funny. Really enjoy her. Yeah, but it was nice. The hot springs was fun. And it was nice to get out of the house. I mean, during this time, you don't have a lot of freedom to do much. Mm-hmm. So it was nice.
Yeah.
But then it all came crashing down when CT thought, you know what I should do? Make a fire and make s'mores that he did not make.
Yeah. So where were those?
Well, I think that that's probably why the fight got a little more intense. Had you had a marshmallow, some chocolate and graham crackers, that could have gone differently.
Totally.
And Kyle got his first s'more and he fell in love with it. And I feel like Big T would have had probably a better convo with a s'more.
Wow. Well, not only that, can we just talk about CT's bad conversational skills? I just think he doesn't know how to listen. Like, he was just like, he sat her down to say sorry and explain to her why she wasn't allowed to have feelings about it. And then when she was, like, expressing herself, he decided to get mad at her for then expressing herself. And it's like, wait a minute, this wasn't an apology. And she read that from the jump. She was like, this wasn't a conversation. You wanted to sit me down to sway me. No, I mean, like, I got to stand with Big T on this one because I think that CT, he did not go about any of this the right way.
Yeah, he should have just been like, listen, I'm sorry. I know I said something in the heat of the moment that was probably pent up, and I could have delivered that better. I could have talked to you before, and I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. And I promise to be a better friend from now on. And that would have been fine. I think that she would have been like, it may take me a little bit to get over it, but thank you for at least trying to be decent. And what I really think is going on is that CT has gotten the role of the bad guy, whether he is or not. And I think years and years of people assuming that there is no good in there kind of puts him on the defense. You know, like, oh, well, I have to be in charge of this conversation because I don't want people to think I'm a bad guy. I don't think he's a bad guy.
No.
And he's grown so much. I just think that he could have handled the situation better. And I think that going on the defense helps him, or the offense, whichever way you want to put it, helps him to have control over the situation. So just trying to play devil's advocate here, but.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel that, too. I'm so with you on that. I think, like I said, I don't disagree with CT did. I think it's just the way he did it. And, like, hopefully, you know, the two of them will be able to talk, and over time it will help kind of calm all that down because Big T said she was a grudge holder, and that's a little scary.
I don't like that. Remember, Big T, we are friends. You and I are friends.
Yeah.
But speaking of Big T, her partner, Nam, I got to tell you something.
Okay.
So when we did the helicopter one with the rope where I slid down like it was a fire pole or a stripper pole.
Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, it's fine. I did what I could. After Nam's turn, he was violently ill. I mean, puking his guts up.
Really?
And we didn't know what was going on. He was like, Anissa, I almost threw up while we were spinning on the ropes.
Oh.
So I know, after a really crazy workout, or if you're in so much pain, it makes you, like, physically ill. So yeah. I just couldn't imagine the pain that he was going through. But I noticed right when it happened. So I was like, are you okay? And he'd like fight it off and be like, I'm fine. And I'm like, I won't tell anybody that you're hurt, but like, you gotta do something about it. Like, what can I get? Do you need a foot rub? Do you need a hug? Do you need a kiss on the lips? What do you need for that back? You know, perhaps if we injure you in another location, the back one, like, don't worry, I'll do all of the work.
Oh man.
I'll get you an Icelandic back brace.
I can't with you.
Then they tell us, like, right before we start this horrible night challenge, Nam, you gotta go. And he just bawled. He was like, I was so happy to be here. Like, this was such a big opportunity. So I hope we see him in the future. Nam, yeah. If you're listening to this, if you ever listen to it, mm-hmm. I love you. I think the world of you. I think that you are such a gentleman. And I know you'll be back stronger than ever.
I really hope he comes back. I would love to see him on another challenge. But then TJ reminds everybody that tonight is Survive the Night. What the hell? This looks like it's from the movie Saw, right?
That's what I thought. Listen, the music, that and you got Fessy. Like, it's one thing, okay? It's one thing to be trapped in a cell with this man. But it is another thing to be handcuffed that close to Fessy in a cold cage. It's not even like some hot shit where we're like in a bedroom. It's a cold cage for Fessy and I. And I'm so close to him. And I'm like, I can't get away from you. And the only way we can get out of here is if we follow all of these rules that TJ is going to give us. There's no time limit, Tori. We literally have to wait for TJ to be like, stop and switch and whatever. I can't give too much away because I was already there. But it is freezing. It's a smelly old warehouse. Like,
yeah, the lights. Strobe lights too. What?
I felt like they wanted us to seize in there. I mean,
sensory overload.
I really got nervous about that. I'm like, this can't be all night. We can't do this all night. But you guys gotta watch it. It is one crazy mission that I would not wish on my worst enemy. Wow. Okay, maybe my worst enemy, but it was pretty damn bad.
Oh God, I can't wait. I love these cliffhangers and I hate them. It's like this thing that keeps me in and it pushes me out at the same time. It's toxic relationship, the challenge. Stop with the cliffhangers.
It's like cliffhanger on top of cliffhanger. I'm like, we want it all.
Jesus.
All of that.
It's hurting me. I wish that they were just on Netflix so I could just binge every episode.
I know, right? Netflix, I hope you hear this. We need all of the episodes ever. Thank you.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to talk to somebody later this episode, actually in like 5 seconds. We're going to interview one of my favorite contestants on the challenge, Josh Martinez. Anissa, are you excited?
Yes, the human wrecking ball, the Cuban wrecking ball, I meant. He is such a little love bug. Him and I have definitely grown over our challenge experience together. We went from wanting to strangle each other to wanting to hug each other tightly.
Yeah.
So I cannot wait to hear Josh's perspective on the challenge, especially this episode.
Yeah. All right, everybody, we are back right now, and I am so excited to have Josh Martinez on as a guest. I have loved Josh since the very first season I met him on War of the Worlds 2. He has a heart of freaking gold, and I think he's probably one of the most misunderstood challengers of all time. So, Josh, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome, Josh.
What's up, homies? I fucking love that intro, Tor. That hyped me up.
Yes, dude.
That's love right there.
It's facts, literally.
Well, she also left no space for me to do anything. welcome, Josh Martinez, the Cuban wrecking ball, my buddy, who has said some of the craziest things to me, and it always ends up in a hug.
Oh, welcome. God. Good times.
Welcome.
God, Josh, it's so great to have you on this episode. And honestly, I do think you are probably the most misunderstood person on the challenge. I always, because I praise you all the time on social media, like I love Josh. Like I barely go on Twitter, but when I do, I'm probably saying I love Josh and leave him alone because like people are assholes. But I want to get into that a little bit later because I want people to get to know you more so they can understand why we love you so, so much. So that's why I think it's so great that we're going to have you on this interview.
Hell yeah, I'm excited for sure. And I'm glad it's with you too, because we already have such a good friendship, and I fucking love both of you. So yeah, let's get into it.
Yay.
Thanks. He was talking to me. Thank you. So let's dive into the episode, because I think this is a crazy episode. I was talking to Tori about it, because it just starts with the elimination. Mm-hmm. So we just had a cliffhanger. Now we're going into the elimination. There's a security breach. What were you thinking? The minute he's like, security breach.
Yeah, I just watched it, and I think I just got PTSD all over again of just a rush of anxiety. I was completely blindsided. I mean, nobody was expecting it. Completely thrown off of my game. I didn't even go dressed for the elimination. I was like, I'm not going in. I know in the house. I mean, Anissa, you were there. We knew we had the boats, that I was safe. Mm-hmm. But in my head, I'm like, I'm good. Even when Lolo left, we kind of knew she was gone. So it's like, okay, that, I guess, we're just going to figure it out as we go. Never in my mind did I think it was going to be a double elimination. So as soon as TJ said my name, I completely blacked out. Like, yeah. I've never had that experience happen to me ever in my life. I blacked out. I couldn't hear anything. It's like people were talking to me, nothing. I wasn't processing shit. I was just in complete shock. It was crazy. Totally. So I don't even remember doing the elimination. It's just fucking wild. Like, but yeah, it was tough. And then going up against CT, which the guy's record speaks for itself. You never want to face off somebody that's that good at everything, right, in elimination. I wasn't scared, but still wasn't like my ideal situation, you know?
Right. Well, especially with the puzzle. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Josh, did you know that he was going around the house saying that he wanted to go against you? Was that like news to you?
Yeah. I did know. A lot of people let me know that he was campaigning hard, that him and Devin really wanted me in. Anissa let me know, Leroy let me know. A lot of people, that's what, I had good friendships with a lot of people in the game that were looking after me, and so was I. So, you know, just them giving me, even that moment where me and Anissa in the last episode had that moment where I like cried to them, it just felt good because I felt like I had friends that fucked with me that had my back, you know?
Yeah.
So I knew no matter what, I knew that he was campaigning hard, but I didn't think that he was going to get that. And I think this twist, just like the challenge gods were on his side, and it just so happened to work out for him. But I really felt like I was going to be good for a while just because of the numbers I had in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Yeah. I believe that. Like, they were trying real hard to get Josh, and I'm like, yeah, so we kind of been working together this whole time. Like, I'm not just going to go against him now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know? But I think this is what viewers really want to know, because you had beef with Devin, clearly.
Yeah.
And had beef even going into elimination. How was the flight home with Devin?
I think that, you know, at first I was like, my initial reaction was like, fuck, I'm going to be stuck with this guy the next few days, because we know we stay for a few days, do the interviews. And I think it was the best thing that happened for so many reasons. But like, mm-hmm. I feel like in that game, it's set up to have enemies. It's set up to, you know, just played out to where we were on two different sides. I knew nothing about Devin going into the show. And when we got eliminated, they threw us in the same fucking hotel apartment. I was downstairs and he had the whole top floor, and I walk in, I was like, yo, this has to be a joke, right? Like, I literally go to security, I'm like, they're fucking with me at this point, right? Like, production has to be messing with me. But we literally just chopped it up, drank a few beers, that'll do it. And I got to see a side of Devin that I think a lot of people on this show don't. And he has his character, he plays his role, he does his thing, he talks his shit. But Devin's actually a really fucking cool guy, and I'm glad that I got to know him off of the show and kind of kick it with him, because he's a cool dude. And it just sucks that in that game, especially me, I kind of stick to my people, rock with them, and then everybody else, it's like, all right, let's go to war. Mm-hmm. And he just like, just, you know, getting to know him off the show, he's a really cool dude. So I'm glad that we kind of got eliminated. Being eliminated by yourself sucks. You know, leaving with Anissa last season was great. Mm-hmm.
We did have fun. Hello, Prague.
Hello, Prague.
You're out there. Thank you for the random miscellaneous blackout nights. Thank you.
Yeah, getting eliminated with him was it made it a lot easier to just have somebody we could just talk shit and kind of go through our misery together.
Totally. Devin's 100% one of those people that like you have this love-hate relationship with until you're off camera, and then you have a moment to like meet him, and then you're like, oh, shit, there's something good in there. Like, I know you guys are friends now, and I, like, love seeing the relationship bloom. And, you know, I'm curious personally, because obviously you work with Big Brother. Like, that's your people. But like you said, you have so many other friends that you have their back. Yeah. And you do have other alliances that maybe just aren't as amplified on screen. So I am wondering, now that you're friends with Devin, would you ever create an alliance outside of Big Brother, aka with Devin?
I don't see that's hard. I don't know. I don't listen, in the future seasons, we don't know what's gonna happen.
Right.
I think that I'll ever align and work with him. I can't say no, but he does know that I'm very loyal to my people, and he doesn't really fuck with some of my people. So that's the hard thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going into this reunion. We're gonna see how that plays out. But I think that he respects that, like, you know, he knows not to talk about, like, if it were about you, like, I wouldn't allow anybody to do that. So I'm glad that he respects that, and he knows that those are my good friends.
Yeah.
They just have to figure that out. But, yeah, I don't see myself, like, I don't know. That's tricky. Because in the game, it's a whole different ballgame, right? So I don't know. I don't know. That's a tough question.
Well, there was a great Big Brother alliance this season, we could see, but do you think you'd be always paired with, like, there could be some Big Brother people you don't like at all that may walk into this game and you'll never work with?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, it's happened. It's happened in the past with me, like, with people I don't want to mention. But, yeah, just because we're Big Brother, it doesn't mean that we instantly are going to work with. I think some of my biggest blowups have been with some Big Brother people because we just don't get along.
Ah, true. But
I think the people that are, in like, Casey and Fessy, they're my really good friends outside of the show. Mm-hmm. And we just have a good friendship. And it just so happens to be that we come from Big Brother. You know, so I think that's what makes us such a strong alliance or strong team, I guess, is that we just have a really good friendship. But yeah, no, I think people that come from Big Brother in the future, it's not going to be like that because we don't have that bond and we don't have that relationship or that history. Like,
right.
With you two, like, we have such a good friendship. Nobody's going to come from Big Brother and think, oh, I'm going to not protect them because you're from there and go against y'all. No, that's not going to happen.
Right.
So it's kind of like,
yeah,
it's all within the friendship. It really has nothing to do with if we're from Big Brother or not.
Totally, dude. I feel that. And like the way this whole season ended for you, at least, was just so crazy and obviously heartbreaking. So obviously I don't want to go into it too much more because, you know, I'll start crying over here. When I was watching it, I was like, fuck, man, Josh finally won his first elimination. Like, he was killing it. He had all the numbers on his side, and the stupid blind side had to come out of nowhere. And then CT took you out, which is, it's good to go down to a legend for sure. But at the same time, it never feels good to go home. But my question is next about how you felt about CT's choice. Were you there when he picked Cam and, like, screamed?
They were gone, I think, by then.
Yeah, we were gone, but I just watched that. And I'm like, everybody should have known that was going to happen. CT was saying it the whole time.
Oh, was he?
He was saying it the whole time. So for everybody to be shocked, it's like, listen, this guy's going to do, he's great at the game because he has no fucking loyalty to nothing but the money. And he's willing to do whatever he wants. He'll cross anyone to get there. And I would never play that. I don't have it in my heart to play that way. I just can't. But, like, you got to respect it, and you can't be mad at it. And, you know, he wanted Cam from the very beginning after he denied her, which was a shock to me. But, you know, you got to expect it. Kyle's reaction was funny as hell, him being pissed. I'm like, dude.
I don't think it's a matter that we knew CT was going to switch. It was how he went about it.
Yeah, I mean, that was a lot. The way so we were gone at that point, but watching that, and just his reaction. I think he just came off of the win. He got his gold score. He knows he's pretty much set to make that final. Mm-hmm. I think he was just the excitement. But, yeah, that was a dickhead move. I felt really, really bad for Big T, honestly.
Yeah. Did you feel bad leaving Nani? Because I know you guys got so close this season. And then, you know, you see the rest of the episode where she's just, like, sad and really still missing you.
I mean, she lost it, Josh. You didn't see it. I told you about it later. But she was like, no, I know how it feels when you lost Tori. I'm like, yeah, you feel like you're missing a limb.
Aww.
Because I think you were the only person she really trusted.
Yeah, that's a fact. I think, Nisa was going through it when you left. Bad,
oh, I love
too.
You, Nisa. Like,
yeah, it was pretty bad.
Still going through it.
We were all heartbroken when you left. It was tough.
Oh, I love you guys.
But with the Nani situation, me and Nani just have such a good friendship, and I feel like we have such a good bond as a team that watching that, I mean, it was kind of sad seeing her upset like that. I didn't know she got like that, but I'm proud of her, man. I think Nani's so underrated, and she's such a good competitor, and she has so much heart that, like, whoever she ended up with, I think she's going to do good and do well in a final, so... I just want to see her make that final this season, which, you know, hopefully she does.
Yeah.
We're all trying to make that final, Josh. We're all trying to get there. You know, I
want this final so fucking bad.
You want to run a final until you fucking get there. Actually, I'm going to be honest with you. Josh Martinez has one of the best workout ethics I've ever seen in my life. Every time me and Josh work out together, he's always like, all right, let's go. Next one. I'm like, Josh, we only started breaking 10 seconds ago. He's like, next rep. No. I'm like, Jesus, Josh.
Tori, you're the same way. Let's do 50 burpees. No, Tori, we need to be able to hold. Like, maybe pull our pants up tomorrow or brush our hair or brush our teeth. You guys are the same person. Shut up. When it comes you both suck.
Yeah, I love training with Tori. She's so fucking, I mean, I probably have one of the best workouts with Tori than some of the fucking guys in the house, honestly. Like, she trains so hard. And we feed off of each other, so we motivate and push each other, and I love that. And, you know, I think that, like, that's a cool thing, too, that, like, it's a little frustrating because you guys see that side of me. You see how I train. You guys know when we're competing that, like, I can go with endurance and distance and all that stuff. But within, like, the challenge the past few seasons, I feel like I really haven't been able to prove or show that, especially in eliminations, because it hasn't been something that, like, you know, to my strength, like a headbanger or something like that. You know, everything that I go into is some, I'm not going to say janky, but I don't know another word. It's like some shit that I'm not gonna fucking, you know, really show my skills in. So it's frustrating. Totally. Y'all know.
It's just something you can't train for. It's like when am I ever gonna go outside and pull over a whole thing of crates and then take the balls and throw them through shit? Yeah. Like,
you're never going to be able to, like, hey, can you train to stand up here and answer trivia? No. I actually can't. These are things you're never gonna do. So the training that we all have done, and especially you, Josh, because I always see you running, is built for a final.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If that's even what the final's going to be, because, you know, they were in snow one time. I mean, there could be snow in this. You never know.
Yeah.
So even if you do train, it doesn't matter. I mean, I think it's more disappointing when you've put in so much hard work and effort, than if you just show up like whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah.
I think that makes a difference. But training, I mean, like I always say, you see some of the biggest, most, you know, six-pack having athletic dudes fall and women. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Josh, it wasn't your season right now, but you never know. But you did win something this season.
Yeah.
Your first fucking elimination.
Thank God.
Your first elimination win, Josh. Tell me how that felt.
Oh, so good. I feel like I won the whole damn thing if you didn't see that. Me celebrating. Listen, even them, like, laughing and fucking trying to play me and all that stuff, it was funny. Them balls were heavy as fuck, to be real with you. And they were much heavier than yours, so they said, but y'all made it look so easy, both of you, that, like, I got up there and it was a struggle. But I was happy, man, and it felt good. I think that, like, just getting that first win feels so good. And I think that now with losing and getting the criticism and people talking shit, it's just taught me to not give a fuck. And now I got nothing to lose. So when I continue to come back, I'm going to work my ass off, and I'm not scared to go down into elimination anymore. Like, when my first few seasons, there was no way. I never wanted to go down in the sand, and now I've gotten comfortable with it. Like, now all I got to do is – I got nothing to lose. It's like show up and do my thing and compete. And and I don't know. I just think, like, with failing and, like, having, you know, these seasons back-to-back where, like, I haven't made the final, it's like it's made me more hungrier, and, like, I've just been so motivated by – I don't know if saying motivated by, like, my L's, my losses, but it makes me want to work harder and just to prove myself and
motivate
myself that, Josh, I can make it to the end.
Success is going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. Every single time you get down there and you lose, you pick yourself back up, you put yourself in the gym, and you give birth to a fucking medicine ball. I've seen it. I've seen it on your IG. you ain't fucking with these people anymore. I can't wait to see what else you bring. Like, obviously, hopefully nobody knows if we're all going to be back for another season, but if we're all back there, I just know everybody that we're talking to in our close circle is working so hard to not prove to them anything to anybody else but to themselves. And that's what I love about
what you exude.
You're proving it to you. You're out in the gym for you. You're like, no, I gotta do this for me. And I love that.
Yeah.
So looking into future seasons, like, how do you feel? like you're evolving, or would you ever like consider changing the style of your game? Like what happens when you lose personally, and what changes do you want to make when you go back?
Oh, a lot. I think that obviously a lot of the things that I've done hasn't worked out for me within the game. And I think one of them being my temper and just losing control of my emotions. It's really hard for me in that game. You know, a lot of people at home watch and we get shit on the internet, but they don't know how hard that experience really is unless you've been through it. And you guys have done so many now that you get it. And but it's hard. It's hard. And I'm on my fourth season. I spiraled. I wasn't in a good headspace. And just the toll, like the pressure that I put on myself constantly to compete for my family takes such a toll on me every single season. It amplifies, everything's more amplified in the game. And I just think going into future seasons, just controlling my temper and having better control of my emotions. Like I wear my heart on my sleeves. It's hard for me to control it. I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to own it. It's fucking hard, especially in that environment. Yeah. But I think in the future seasons, that's something that I just need to keep in lock because it does affect my game. It does affect my relationships in there. And it does put a target on my back for no reason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, listen, we had that moment where CT basically was like, yeah, he said it earlier in the season. Well, not too many episodes ago. He was like, I was making rookie mistakes until my fifth season. And CT did not win his first challenge until his 10th season. So there's so many lessons to be learned along the way. And you just have to continue to not lose enthusiasm every single time you make a mistake. So just be easy on yourself because, I mean, you're amazing. That's why you keep getting asked back. Even if there are people out there who troll the shit out of you, which is so...
Fuck them.
Literally fuck them.
Josh, you will learn over time, as I have learned over 2 decades, that what people say is not, you know, like my biggest thing. I can't control what people do, but I can control how I react to them. Mm-hmm. So they're going to talk shit all day about you, about me, about Tori, about something. And we're still asked to do this amazing, amazing show. Mm-hmm. So take it in stride, keep busting your ass, and know that like you are loved by Tori and I, which and Nani, and that's the only thing that matters.
I appreciate that. And to be real with you, it's so hard. It's hard, man. I'm not gonna front and put up a front and be like, oh, this shit's easy dealing with all this shit, or even like going in and competing every season and taking an L and, you know, coming back. But I think for me, it's like I've been through so much real shit in my life that like it's built me. I'm so grateful for my struggle before I got on TV because I feel so unfazed by a lot of shit. And I have so much respect for all of you guys that have done this shit for years and are so open and real and just continue to come back. Like you two, Corey, like all the people that have been kind of like made the show and what it is now. I have so much respect because it's a hard industry and it's a hard thing to deal with. Like, yo, like you gotta be fucking, you gotta have thick skin and just be mentally strong and not give a fuck to just continue to come back and do the show. Cause this audience is tough, you know? Mm-hmm. And the show's hard as shit. It's one of the best shows in the fucking world, but it is tough. It is hard. So yeah, I have so much respect for all of y'all.
Oh, we love you, Josh.
Yeah.
So now that it's done.
Yeah.
And you're home.
Yeah.
It's done for you and you're home. What have you been doing? Like, what have you been doing on the off season and how do you train for possibly the next season?
Yeah. So honestly, I've been living my best life. That's like, I've been traveling. I've been training a lot. I've been in the gym probably 5-6 times a week, probably 2 days, just working out, grinding, just getting my mind right.
Yes.
More than like just getting keeping myself in a good space mentally because, you know, obviously doing these back to back, it does take a toll on you. And if I'm being real, last season with Total Madness, the hate fucked me up. It put me in a hole. Mm-hmm. Like it really did. And I was so prideful, not even prideful. I was embarrassed to say that the hate cracked me. Like I was in such a bad space that now it's like, I've completely blocked all of that out. I feel numb to it at this point. It's crazy, but like blocking that out, doing things for myself, like spending time with friends and family, traveling, doing things that make me happy. I live such a good life. Like my real life is so good that like I'm just focusing on that and just doing things to keep myself mentally, physically, and just spiritually in a good space so that I'm going into the next one. If I do go into the next one, I'm mentally ready for whatever's thrown at me.
So yeah.
Just taking care of me, really. That's what I've been up to. And just, enjoying life.
Good. And that's the real challenge of the challenge, is dealing with the fucking show, you know? Yo. It's like, it's assimilating into real life and allowing yourself to be a person. Because let's be real, all of the people that are talking shit on social media would probably be on the show doing the same kind of mistakes that we make and not have the ability or the strength to deal with the criticism. So you should be proud of yourself, and you should go to whatever freaking island with a mask on that you want, as long as you can do it as COVID safely as possible.
I agree. You
know? Go there in a hazmat suit and have a blast. Full PPE. I have some gloves at home if you need some, and some alcohol swabs. I'm ready for the vacation, guys. I am ready.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
So, Josh, you've played in some intense, intense challenges over the past couple of years. So War of the Worlds 1 and 2, Total Manus and Double Agents.
Yep.
Do you wish you could have competed in earlier seasons? Like, besides the ones that you've been in, because they've been really intense, the last couple of them.
The one in Spain, the right before I got on, looked really – that season looked Vendettas. So sick. I think it was Vendettas, That season looked so sick. Spain is, like, bucket list goals where I want to visit. I mean, I don't think the challenges were even that tough. I feel like when I got on, I don't know what the hell happened within production and like their team. They just cranked it up to 100. Like the shit we do now seems way more intense than like the past seasons. But it also seems like y'all just had way more fun back in the day. Like I wish I could go back to like the OG era, that time where like y'all seemed so carefree, didn't give a shit. Like social media wasn't a thing. Y'all were just genuinely having a good ass time and like enjoying the challenges. Now it's like we're going to war every time you see TJ. Like, I'm 100%. Ready to cut somebody's head off, you know? And that's the element, that's the zone we all get in. So it's intense.
Yeah. And you're so right. Like, it was so much easier for the OG seasons to really just not be affected by how they were going to be portrayed, because they didn't have to deal with the criticism publicly to their front door. Like, Instagram's my door. You're knocking on my door when you comment on my page. So you're coming to my page. You're knocking on my door with some shit sometimes. So it makes me think about how I act on TV. And like, obviously it has its benefits. Of course, you don't want to look like an asshole. But at the same time, it does relate. Like, it does take away some of your freedoms, because now you're living in fear of how you're going to be portrayed. So go. I wish we could go back to. Could you imagine me and you and Anissa on an OG season?
Reckless. That would have been a mess.
Yeah. Bring in the hot tub.
I would have had two more partners for exes.
I was just watching. I was just watching you on Netflix, Niecy. Look at me being a fan right now. What's that season on Netflix that was in Brazil?
Oh, The Duel was so fun.
The Duel. If I could pick any season, The Duel. That should look like so much fun.
Yeah. Hell
in Brazil.
And I didn't give a shit.
In Brazil, that's wild.
We still get to go to some pretty amazing places, but we also have to keep in mind that we have to keep up with Ninja Warrior and Survivor. And, you know, even though we are the first people to ever, I think, do these kinds of crazy shows, you know, we still got to keep up with the times. And that means that we are just going to keep up in the ante. But we've shown time and time again that we're capable of doing it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes incapable of doing it. But at least we give it a good try.
Oh my God, Anissa. Josh, we have one more miscellaneous kind of fun question for you. We ask everybody this because we got to know. So if you could choose any athlete or celebrity to join the Big Brother Alliance or just be your partner on a challenge, like, I would pick Will Ferrell. Anissa would pick some CrossFit guy that she thinks hot on Instagram. But who would you pick?
Yo,
he's
so
in really good shape.
Okay, so this, I'm going to be so real with y'all. This probably wouldn't have been my option if we had this interview yesterday. But I got to say this because it's so sick.
Okay,
I know who he's going to pick.
Do it.
Fucking Rihanna and ASAP Rocky. Like, long story short, we run into Rihanna in the city, and me, Casey, and Fessy, she literally told us, she's like, can I be part of the Big Brother line?
Oh,
I literally almost fainted.
No.
I was like, what? I'm like, Rihanna, first of all, you know who I am. Second of all, you're asking me about being in the alliance. Like, guys, she's such a fan of the show. And she loves y'all. She loves the show. She says they watch her and Eight, they watch it every week. And that was just such a sick experience to meet such a big... like she's a big time, and like for her to watch our show, support it, love everything about, she said she would love to do the show. So I don't know who. Yo, right?
Well, I should love for her to follow me, Brianna. Damn it.
Yo, so that I would say, just because we just met her and it was surreal and she's such a huge fan of the show and all of us, I would say Rihanna. But if I had to pick another person, I think
God, that's so wild.
I think there's some athletes too that are big fans of the show.
Oh yeah.
But I would pick, like, I don't know, I'm such a big fan of like A-Rod and Jeter and people like baseball players that I grew up watching. So yeah, like one of those two, that would be sick, but I doubt, you know, that's just me being a fan.
Listen, it's dream world. Will Ferrell would never do the show and he would probably be terrible at it, but at least, you know, people would enjoy him for comical relief. So you pick who you want.
Yeah, and my Instagram guy, Cody,
that's actually a really
thinks
good
I'm
pick.
A psycho. Yeah. Cody thinks I'm a fucking psycho now because people have been spamming the shit out of him, telling him I want to eat his babies. I really just wanted to possibly buy him a drink one day if he ever drinks and watch him do bar facing burpees. He's in such good fucking shape. He did like CrossFit games, and he's just a regular dude, regular schmeg, with really just really cute. Please don't think I'm weird, Cody. It's just Josh, I love you, and
I love you too.
I can't wait for the next time we can all be together. Hopefully, we can do Mexico part deux.
We need to do Mexico.
I think you're amazing. I think that if people got to see more of who you are, they would get it. And that some of us are just a little bit more emotional when it comes to these games than others. It just means that you're a little bit more involved in it. Some people can just let shit happen and be unaffected. We aren't those people. So maybe Tori is, because she looks weird right now. But
I hate you.
But I love you, Josh, and I thank you so much.
I love you guys, too. Thank you guys so much. And honestly, I just want to say I'm very proud of both of you. I've told you guys this off the podcast, but like everything you guys are doing and just continue to kill it. You guys deserve all of it. So I'm really proud and happy for both of you. So keep fucking crushing it.
Oh, you made me cry.
This is the emotional podcast brought to you by Tori and Easton Josh.
Let's just fucking label it. That's the emotional podcast.
This is sponsored by Kleenex.
Wait, is it?
No. It would be quite amazing.
Really? Kleenex on this? Holy shit.
They specifically reached out for your episode. It was so strange.
Oh, that's love.
I love you so much, Josh. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Josh.
Bye. Thanks, friends.
Oh, Tori, that was so amazing to have Josh with us today. He is such a sweetheart, and it was nice to, you know, pick his brain and see how he really feels about the challenge, about us.
Yes.
About elimination.
Anissa, I couldn't agree with you anymore, Queen Anissa. Thank you so much for being my co-partner through all of these amazing conversations.
I wouldn't be able to do it without you. And I feel like it is about that time where we are going to take a question from a lovely, lovely listener. Mm-hmm. And this one comes from our girl, Kenya. Mm-hmm. Tori, what's the question?
Okay. She says, verbatim, with all the estrogen in one house, I'm sorry, with all that estrogen in one house, does everyone's cycle sync up? Like, how's the hygiene? I'm a germaphobe, so I'd be concerned about y'all. I'm dead. Like, first of all, she's not wrong. I'm happy that people, as viewers, they watch and they're like, it looks like it could get a pretty nasty in that house because it does.
Yeah, like, what do they do on a final when they have their period? Is there like a quick like tampon machine that shows up out of nowhere?
Yeah, I wish.
Like,
I remember the one time we were heading to this is disgusting, TMI for sure, but I drank a matcha latte before I was going to a challenge. It was in total madness. Anissa, I had to go on the side of the road. I
was there. I looked at you.
You were
and said,
there. You were
Where
there.
Where are you going, friend?
Like,
to take a poopy in the woods. But it is one of those kinds of things where, like, you don't have a bathroom on the bus and you have a 2-hour drive, but Kenya, to answer your question, I am Mother Moon. And if you come around me, you will get your period. So just trying to tell you, like, if I have it, you're going to get it. The uterus is strong. So we all sync up. We're all emotional. We all run out of tampons. We've all spent a lot of money getting them because we have to buy the organic ones and still trying to struggle to find out why we're still paying for tampons. But that's going to – we're going to save that for another time. But it's –
Yeah. I mean, it's even worse because with – and with the guys. Like, we had three bathrooms this season. And there was multiple times when, Anissa, you and I, one of us would be on the toilet, one of us would be on the shower, one of us would be brushing our teeth, one of us would be doing our hair. Like, you had to share the bathroom. And so you're really kind of scrambling while you're in there because 30 people are sharing three bathrooms. So that's 10 person to one bathroom. Just do the math, okay? And how many times have we left crap everywhere? And this leaves me. I want you to tell one of my favorite stories, the Nelson story. You have to tell it.
Oh, God. So... sharing a bathroom, 30 people, three bathrooms. Someone's always got to shit. Someone's got to pee. Someone's got to shower. Someone's always in it. I go in. It may or may not be that time of the month. Okay, it is. I'm talking to Tori, per usual, and Nelson comes up like, yo, I think you forgot something in the bathroom. And I'm like, oh, my God, Tori, did I not put my applicator in the trash? Like, I mean, red in the face. So scared. I'm like, Tori, it's my applicator. Tori, you got to go check. Mayday, mayday. I need a 20 on my applicator. I know I put it in the trash can.
Oh.
Where is it?
God, it was so funny because Nelson came up to you and was like, I found it in the bathroom. And we really thought he was talking about the tampon. Like, we were like, no way he came up to you and said that. And we thought he didn't know what it was. Turns out he thought it was something completely – he was talking about something completely different.
It wasn't even the applicator, which was placed directly in the trash can like a civilized person.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that can go wrong in terms of just women's hygiene in the house. And it's tough being a female on the challenge, especially during that time of the month. And every time, little side note here, every time I've ever ran a final, I've been on my period. Dirty 30 was on my period. War of the Worlds 2 was on my period. Just going to throw that out there. So,
and I get mine usually the first challenge.
So, really?
Yeah.
It's like the stress just shoots it out of your body.
I beat you on Dirty 30 while getting my period.
Listen, it gave you that extra strength that you needed. That little oomph.
Listen,
that
little almost took me out. That little push over the hill.
You crushed me on that. If anybody hasn't seen Dirty 30, go watch first episode. I talk shit on Anissa and then she smacks my ass. Go.
That's not, and then I literally smacked her ass. So there's a lot going on. Dirty 30, you know.
It's a good
season.
They should
just do a transitional reel for us from then to now. How TNA became TNA.
Oh, God. Well, Anissa, I love you. It's absolutely an honor being a co-host with you. And I just want to know where we can follow you, how we can support you. And is there any place that we can buy exclusive photos of, you know, maybe a toe or something along those lines?
Well, the toe thing, you'll have to wait for it, guys, because we are maybe going to come out with some toe-loving pictures of just Tori's toes, my toes, loving one another.
Yeah.
To be continued. We'll see what happens. But you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Anissa MTV. That's AnEESAMTV. Slide in my DMs. Send me a question or some love. We all need it. I try to respond to as many as I can. Sometimes I get a little overloaded. It's a lot. But I try and do my best. I'm only human. But I love you all very much and appreciate you all listening.
Yes.
Where can they find you, my little peach?
You guys can find me in the kitchen at 3 a.m. I'm usually eating cookies when no one's watching. Because if you're eating when no one's watching, the carbs don't count. Other than that, you can find me at Tori _ deal on Instagram, Twitter, whatever. Slide into my DM. Same thing. I try to reach out and talk to as many people as possible. But, you know, we get flooded sometimes. But I'm sending all of you guys love. We're so thankful for your support. So be sure to watch new episodes of The Challenge every Wednesday.
And then go behind the scenes with us the next morning on MTV's official Challenge podcast.